Lord, we pray tonight that you'll bless the whole camp.
Yes, Lord.
We think of the cottagers, Lord, that are, I guess, soon to go to bed, if not already. We pray for them, Lord, that you'll bless each one of them. Lord, there's a full house there, a lot of kids. Lord, maybe some of them for the first time away from their homes. We pray that you'll be with them, bless them, comfort them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them to camp. And we pray this first night that you'll watch over them. Be very near to them, we pray, in a very practical, tangible way. We pray for the villagers, Lord, as they have their first meeting tonight, that you will come to the village, Lord.
Yes.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Lord, I remember last year, the very first meeting, how you came to the boys and how you poured out your Spirit upon them, how they sought your face, and how they worshiped you. Lord, we pray that right from the very beginning of this year, third period, that you will pour out your Spirit upon them, Lord, and that you will draw very near to them and bless them, bless them. Lord, you know, answer prayer, Lord, that has gone up on their behalf, abundantly above what we could ask or think. And Lord, here in our meeting tonight, just get your will done in us. Lord, we all need you. Staff, guests, every one of us, we need you. Lord, we're here because we own our need. We recognize our lack. We know that you have everything that we need. We need your daily strength. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your precious blood. We need you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, tonight that just the way you see we need you, maybe all different in different ways, Lord, come to us just the way you see we have need. And speak to those needs. Minister to those needs. Touch our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Lord, just the way we need you, we pray that you'll use whoever you desire. Let everyone be free to express, Lord, what you put into their hearts. Have your way. Lord, as has just been played, have your way. We're the potter, you're the clay. Now mold and make us after your will. And Lord, let your will be done in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us sing together from the White Book, number 104. Number 104 in the White Book. Hallelujah. He brought me out of the mighty clay. He set my feet on a rock to stand. He puts a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah. He gave me a song.
I know Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. How do you know?
I mean, made me clean.
Okay. That's what he thinks. But what do you think? Anybody agree with that guy back there? Whoever he is?
Amen.
You think so? He saved that. Now, here's another thing that's hard. He saved the worst among you. You sang it. I mean, I sang it too, but you sang. He saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. Now, who here was the worst? Now, we can't all be the worst, but we are, aren't we? It doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what, doesn't matter. We were all born steeped in sin. And we were by nature children of wrath. That's what the Bible says. I mean, you may not like that, you may not agree with it, but I don't care. Because the Bible says it, so that's why I don't care. We are by nature children of wrath, even as others. We were all sinners. That first song, singing the lines of I love him because he first loved me, and talks about being weighed down deep in sin. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once was afraid to meet an angry God. And, you know, I don't have your past. You don't have my past. We don't have everybody else's past, but we all have a time when we were afraid to meet an angry God because we weren't right with that angry God. I thought when we sang that, some of you were here Friday night when Brother Isaac spoke to us, and he talked about the love of God and how we make much of the love of God, and well, we should, but he said also we have to remember that there's a judgment and there's a wrath of God. And that's something to fear. It's something to be afraid of when you don't know him, when you can't love him, when he hasn't forgiven your sins. He's a God to be feared because he is a God of wrath. Paul says, I know the terror of the Lord, and I persuade men. But if we could recognize, and I guess everybody here, I suppose, has come to that realization that we were bad. We were bad off. We're not good. There is none righteous. You're not the first one. Nobody here can be that first one. There is none. There never will be one righteous. And we were all in that predicament of the worst among the group. Paul the Apostle, after he got saved, after he saw the light shine from heaven and he fell on the ground, do you remember? You read the epistles that he starts writing to the churches, and they're dated, and they're pretty accurately dated, I believe. There's no date inspired on the top of each letter, but I think the historians pretty well could place them, and we could figure that that's accurate. And in those early epistles, he talks about himself as the least of the saints. And then when he gets to the end of the epistles, he's talking about himself as the chiefest of sinners. It didn't seem like that guy was getting much better. He was getting worse. The more he saw himself, the more he saw the holiness and purity of God, the more he realized in me, that is in my flesh, there is just nothing good. There's just no good thing in me at all. And he writes, Paul does, Jesus Christ came and he brought a full salvation to the uttermost. He brought a salvation that can eradicate all of the sin that I've committed in the past. It's under the blood. He's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. He's washed me from it. It's no longer in my life, but now he's made me different through his precious, precious blood. He saved the worst. Yes, I know. He saved the worst when he saved a wretch like me. And tonight, you know, what do I come in here? I come in here and say, Lord, I thank you. I love you. I know you say the same thing. I love you, Jesus, because I didn't deserve to be saved from my sin. I didn't deserve to be washed and cleansed. But God, who is rich in mercy, which I didn't deserve and I couldn't earn, he just bestowed that mercy upon me in that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. I love him because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation and yours on Calvary's cross. And so, yes, we know what Jesus has done. We know the change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And thank God that he's still working. Is he still working in you? Is he working in you, working out that salvation? Work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Lord, work in my heart tonight. Work in my heart tonight. I love you. I've given my heart to you, but Lord, you've got to work it out. I want to know you better. I want to be clean and pure through and through. Jesus, I need you tonight. I'm thank you that you're here to save, what's the songwriter? It's a kind of, people don't like this. Some don't. Save me better. It's in the white book. We're not going to sing it. But you know that phrase, save me better. How can you be saved better? I'm either saved or, no, you can be saved better. Make me purer. Well, no, he imputed his righteousness to me and I'm as pure as I'll ever be. No, you're not. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look at what's still left, the residue, the remnants. You can be saved better. You can be made pure. I dare say. I dare say every one of us can be saved better and made pure. Lord, lead me where the fire refines, so that when you're finished with me, I'm going to bring forth pure gold. And you're going to see the travail of your soul. And you're going to be satisfied. And so let him work in your heart tonight by his Holy Spirit. Let the blood do its work in your life and be cleansed from all that unrighteousness and sin. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about, again, you gave your heart to the Lord, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, 25 years ago, 60 years ago. But Lord, now keep working at that salvation. Don't let me stop. Don't let me finish until you're finished. And I don't think he's finished in anybody here yet. Work on. Burn on, O fire of God. Burn in, O fire of God, till all my dross is burned away. Yeah, I know, Jesus, your blood can make the vilest sinner clean. These other verses are good too. Let's sing them also. To the faint he giveth power.
Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. Thank you, Jesus, for giving to me thy great salvation. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Oh, I feel like giving God the glory, the glory, the glory. Feel like giving God the glory for what he's done for you? If you feel like that tonight, why, you should. And maybe it means a word of testimony, or maybe it means, as we just heard from Luke 17, with a loud voice. And I don't know, do you have to use a loud voice? Is the Lord deaf? No, he's not. Then why do I have to use a, well, I don't know, they did. But they're not the only ones that used a loud voice. I read that in the Psalms, and I read it in the book of Acts. I read it in the Old Testament scriptures. When they worshiped, they sometimes used a loud voice. Now, don't ask me why. I don't know why. I just know that they did. I just know that it says at the end of Isaiah chapter 12 that we're to cry out and shout, you inhabitants of Zion. Because the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you is great. Now, you read the rest of that. It's a psalm. I think it's really a psalm, but it's Isaiah 12. In that day thou shalt say, praise the Lord. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. God's my salvation. I'm going to trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, I draw water out of those wells of salvation. And on, the writer writes until that last verse, and cry out and shout, why, the Lord is great and holy in the midst of thee. Now, why that? I don't know why that. I don't know why the psalmist says, you know, you need to get up in the midst of the congregation and you need to tell what the Lord has done. You need to walk around those bulwarks of Zion and you need to remember and remind others. He says in one psalm, you'd have to tell the coming generation. You have to tell those that are next in line the good things that God has done and give God the glory for what he's done in your life and in your heart. Well, why do I need... I don't know why you need to do that, because the Bible does it. The Bible tells us to do it. And so maybe the Lord has brought that suggestion into this meeting tonight because he wants you to give him the glory. He wants you to be one of those other nine. And I'm not looking for nine more testimonies. I'm not looking for one, except if the Lord wants there to be nine or 29 more. But let's be free to give God the glory for our salvation, for the blood that was shed, for the freedom in Jesus that we enjoy. I feel like giving God the glory. He's done so much for me. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which are to us word. If I were to reckon them up in order, the psalmist said, they're more than I could number. O Lord, I don't know where to start. I don't know if I'd ever end if I started. You've done so much for me, I can't tell it all. Well, okay, then don't tell it all, but why don't you give God the glory for at least some of it, some of what he's done for you. Oh, hallelujah. So maybe tonight, you're one of those other nine, and maybe tonight you feel like giving God the glory for what he's done for you. If so, why, feel free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who he has redeemed out of the hand of destruction of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We give you the glory, Lord, for what you have done.
465. Let's stand together as we sing. Number 465. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
The man that wrote this song, you see, his name was William Newell. His father is a famous, well, more famous than he. He wrote some books. They tell me, and I've never been able to get my hands on it. It's out of print now, but there's this Newell, by Newell, a book about Hebrews, a commentary on Hebrews. If anybody has Newell's commentary on Hebrews and you want to get rid of it because you never look at it, I'll buy it. That was the kind of guy he was, his dad. And he had this son named William, Billy Boy. He wasn't a good kid. He grew up in a good home, and his dad was a good man, and his mom was a good lady, but he was a bad boy. And he had always gotten himself into troubles, and not just shenanigan troubles, not just mischievous little boys. All boys are a little mischievous, I guess, but this guy was more than mischievous. He was bad. And he was not living a good life. His dad had connections because his dad was famous, an author, a scholar. So his dad called his friend, who was the president of a Bible school, and he said to him, would you do me a favor? My kid's graduating from school, and I'm really concerned about him because he's not doing so well. He's not following the Lord, really. Could I send him to your school? And the president of the school, his friend, you know, thought, because it's kind of like Pilgrim Camp, you know. Send the worst kids you can find, send them to Pilgrim Camp. Pilgrim Camp is not a reform school. And this college president thought the same thing. This is a Bible school, so it's not a reform school. I mean, your kid's having trouble, and I feel bad, and I want to pray for him, but I don't know, sending him to Bible school is not going to be the answer. And he wrote him back. This was by letter, back and forth. I'm sorry, but I don't know that, you know, we could we could take a guy like this. We're looking for people who want to train for the ministry or who have a heart for the Lord or want to study the scriptures, and you're describing somebody who's opposite of that. Well, the father would not be denied. You know, like the parable that we have in the Bible, because of their importunity. He was going to keep on with this president friend of his, and so he said, oh, can't you please, I'll give you my free book, I'll autograph it. I don't know if he said that, I doubt it. But I'll do whatever it takes. Please, would you reconsider, please? And so the president said, okay, under one condition. Every morning, your Billy boy is going to have morning devotions with me in my office. He has to show up there early, before classes, before school. And I want to see him every day in my office. I want to read the scriptures with him every day in my office. And we're going to talk every day in my office. And we're going to pray every day in my office. And if he doesn't show up every day in my office, I'm not going to keep him here. And so Mr. Newell said, fair enough. And he said, Bobby boy, you're on your way. You're going to Bible school. And pack up. And, the kid was half happy to go because he hated home. His parents were kind of glad he was going, not because they hated him, but they were glad he was going to Bible school. And so he went. Then he started to go to those little sessions every morning with the president. His name was R.A. Torrey, Dr. R.A. Torrey. And so every morning he had, I wish I was that kid. What a privilege to be able to sit with Dr. R.A. Torrey and hear him expository teachings on some chapters or whatever of the Bible. But every morning, they read the Word of God. Every morning they prayed together. By God's Word, at last, my sin I learned. He wrote this song. This is his testimony. It's some of your testimonies tonight that you've given. It's maybe many of our testimonies. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. But then by God's word, at last, my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. And there in that office of Dr. Torrey, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And the third verse, he writes about that too. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. You know, it's kind of like what I heard from Sister Shelley. When it was tough at the beginning, and I didn't have the heart to, and you would have asked me 3 years ago if I would love to read the Bible. I fall asleep when I read it, and I'm not reading that book, and I don't know if I love it enough to read it. But something happened all of a sudden. Now I've given to Jesus everything. I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. And the last verse kind of sums up the whole story. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace or the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. And whenever I sing this song, I can't help but think of the man that wrote it. You think of that with a lot of the hymns that you sing. You know their stories, and you can't help when you sing it as well with my soul, you think of a story. When you think of a lot of songs, you think of a story, because the people that wrote a lot of the hymns, not just one or two or ten, but people that wrote a lot of the hymns that we sing, they wrote them out of an experience with God. Sometimes it was a furnace. It was a hot place, a difficult time. But God did something for them in that furnace. He got rid of the slag and made the rebar. And they write the song out of that furnace of affliction, like we read about Joseph. He put me in the furnace of affliction, but he put iron in my bones. And they write about it. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad we have these songs to sing, and I'm glad we have this one to sing. I don't think it's only his song. It's our song. So let's sing it. And maybe that'll bless you. Maybe somebody here tonight will say, well, I didn't know about Newell, but that's nice. I'm glad we can sing his song, and I'm glad his experience is similar to mine. Now I've given to Jesus. Ready? Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was hope in my future.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.